Welcome to Muse and Hearth, a podcast for Christian women cultivating mind, heart, and home. I'm Lydia Fukushan, and I'm so pleased to be joined today by my pastor's lovely wife, Nancy Wilson. She is a mother, grandma of a whole passel of grandkids, author, and podcaster, as well as a former lit teacher at Logos School. As she put it, chief cook and bottle washer. Nancy, thanks so much for speaking with us today.
Happy to. Thanks, Lydia.
So today, we'll be discussing a topic that must be in the forefront of many of our minds this month, back to school. If you're in high school or college, you're starting classes. If you're a mom or a grandma of school-age kids, you're watching and helping prepare for those young ones to get back to their studies. But then as the dust settles on all that preparation and the raising the bar out of our comfortable summer mode, back to the discipline of study and a more structured schedule, we might realize we could use a reset in some other areas as well. So today we're talking about a back to school for the Christian woman's heart, a chance to collect ourselves from whatever summer season of life we have just been in and reset the bar of daily faithfulness. So as a pastor's wife for many decades, I'm sure some topics come to mind when you think of a basic reset for Christian faithfulness for women.
Oh, sure. It's just that now my life doesn't revolve around the school schedule. And yet it does a little bit just because of our community, because mm-hmm. there's so many children. My grandchildren are in school, either elementary, secondary, college, or grad school.
And we live in an academic town.
We do.
Where the seasons sort of flow with students coming back to the local state university.
That's right. Yeah. So we do have that. It's true. But I would just say the reset can come even sometimes on a daily basis. It's like, you know, I let something really stress me out yesterday and that was wrong and God is faithful and I need to just get.
What's the basic
get under
truth
that get under his
applies.
Feet?
Yeah.
So I think, and as you know, I mean, being in the Word every day is a reset. Praying every day, having a little sort of a prayer ritual, a Bible reading ritual, as long as it doesn't become rote.
Right.
But just a daily reset. Daily reset. And the other thing I think is that women have a cycle. And someone compared it once to the waves go out and the waves come in. And sometimes when the waves out and we feel depleted and just sort of like, what's going on? Why am I feeling emotional or why am I feeling just not myself, off balance.
Things are
whatever.
Unsteady.
And just to remember, like, oh, the wave's out. It's coming back. There's no need to worry. it's just a cyclic thing in our lives.
I have wondered if it was just so much more physically clear in Old Testament during the laws of purity where the women would leave the camp during a certain time of the month. And if it was just so apparent that that was a cycle or a reset too of cleansing for them.
True. And that doesn't necessarily, I think, I mean, maybe it's monthly. I don't chart it, you know, but I mean, of course there's the menstrual cycle, which is monthly.
Right.
But I think sometimes there's just an emotional cycle that may not be every month. It may be, I don't track it. I don't track that. Like feeling blue today.
Yeah.
Put it on the calendar. No. But if it's just
there are
this,
calendars that have mood trackers.
I don't think it's
that can't be profitable.
I think it's being too self-centered. You know, I must be charting my every thought.
A little bit myopic where it's
But I think that if I notice there's just a blue feeling or just something that has no connection to anything in reality. It's like, oh, you know, is this just...
You can reassure yourself.
I'll be back. Yes. This is just the waves are out.
Sometimes I remember with... I didn't notice it weaning my sons as much, but when my daughter was breastfeeding and I weaned her, there were 2 weeks of blue. And I knew what it was. And I said, okay, you know what? This is not reality.
Yes.
This might not feel very good for a little while, but then I was back to myself again.
Right. And just, it can feel like discontent, and you pray, Lord, what is there that I, mm-hmm. and nothing comes to mind. And you say, if there is anything, I'm just going to ignore this. Mm-hmm. Like, I've said before, it's like, well, feelings, I don't have time for you today. You're going to just have to come along quietly because I have a lot to do.
Join me, will you?
And I can't stall out here mm-hmm. and baby myself and pet myself until I cheer myself up. It's like, come on.
And there's certainly probably times where you have to check it and repent, but there may be times where you shouldn't introspect.
Right. Yes.
For 3 hours because you're not doing the things you should be doing.
Exactly. Yes. It's very true. Yeah.
On the Bible reading reset, I actually did want to mention the Bible reading challenge.
I love it.
Because it's been such an encouragement when I'm tempted to be a perfectionist mm-hmm. about daily devotions. Right. That was often a hang up for me over the years, the guilt of, well, I didn't check the box today. Mm-hmm. And the Bible reading challenge, which has been hosted by the ladies of my church, but is online now and international.
All over the world.
Yes, very exciting. Thousands of women reading on the same page together, basically just feasting on God's word. And the encouragement is constantly, jump back in. Just join us where we are.
Right. Exactly.
Don't get hung up on guilt because it's just going to take you through a whole cycle of spinning mm-hmm. your wheels. Mm-hmm. And
well, and one of the great things about it is if you have a particularly busy day, mm-hmm. but you can listen.
Yes.
You can listen to it and catch up.
I have listened in the shower. I confess.
Oh, yeah, please. No, I've heard other people say that. Yeah. They listen and it, you know, the word comes in different ways through mm-hmm. our ears, through our eyes, you know, and it's good to expose yourself to both kinds. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy listening.
I recently saw a woman who said she'd never listened before and she decided to listen this mm-hmm. year as her primary means to read the Bible, just to change it up and have it coming in a different way. And she said it had been really blessing her. So I thought that was exciting.
When I was teaching at Logos, they assign different scriptures that we have to read to the class mm-hmm. so that over the course of their whole career, I think it starts in secondary. Mm-hmm. It's been a while. I'm rusty. But anyway, they'll hear the whole Bible.
Wonderful.
So I would have these passages in Exodus or in Genesis and the genealogies so I got recordings and would just play it. So I didn't have to struggle over all the pronunciations. Mm-hmm. And then the New Testament, I got Johnny Cash.
That's great.
And you know what? It's really great to listen to him reading the New Testament. He's so good at mm-hmm. it. And it just brings it a little, it's in a fresh take.
Yeah.
And Doug reads the scriptures to us every morning and has for years, but he uses different translations.
Yes.
And then we go, oh, wow.
I think it was Amy Carmichael reading about her that first introduced me to the idea of looking mm-hmm. at different translations because she prolifically pulls mm-hmm. from different translations in some of her devotional mm-hmm. things. And I thought, well, that's really neat because if something was missed on approach in one, you're going to get your that little bump that makes you think about it differently.
It's just a different word, a different... Mm-hmm. So I think right now he's reading the New English Bible mm-hmm. and it's still the scripture, but it just has a little different take
different
on some things.
Yeah.
And so we both, you know, go, oh,
hadn't thought about it that way. That
but
before.
Then I just read the same, when I'm reading with the Bible reading challenge, I just use my New King James. Mm-hmm. That's great. Mm-hmm.
We often read from the ESV, sometimes New King James.
Right.
And,
So he's just been reading, but he reads aloud in the morning in different, and once we finish one, he starts another one. So
that's
we've
wonderful.
Read some interesting.
sometimes you probably go, I hadn't heard that angle, and I'm not sure if that's quite accurate.
Yeah. Well, he read the Apocrypha also out loud, and it's not, we don't consider it divine scripture, but it was history, and it was really interesting.
And a lot of it, from what I've read, has biblical, it's biblical mm-hmm. concepts mm-hmm. often that mesh well with what the Bible's saying.
Sure.
Thinking about the Bible reading challenge, It did just start September 6th. So if there are any listeners now that want to join at the beginning,
it'd be great.
It's a great time.
Yeah. So there's an app. Go to the Bible app and go to, it's called To the Word to get the schedule.
And I think it's marked 2021.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then follow the directions.
Yes. Yes. Because it's different in every app. I think I have the Olive Tree Bible app, and it's in there too.
Okay.
And maybe Bible Gateway.
You can find
Don't quote me. Yeah. YouVersion.
But it's To the Word.
Okay. To the Word. Yep. And
so we want to be women of the Word, however we're taking it in, and whatever Bible reading plan we're using, but to be women of the Word consistently throughout our lives, always. And the good thing about this one is we're doing it with so many women, and we're going to get through the whole Bible between now and the end of the school year, talking about the school year. And then in the summer, we just read the New Testament again. So many women have said, this is the first time I made it through the whole Bible. And that's just wonderful. Let's do it again. So Doug and I live with his dad, who's going to be 94 here shortly. He listens to the Bible in the morning because it's too hard for him to read, even with a magnifying glass. It's just difficult. His hands hurt. They're arthritic.
The mechanics of it are just not doable.
So he listens. But he told me yesterday, he's in Exodus, and he said, well, I thought I would listen to the Bible one more time through before I depart.
He just strikes me as always so cheerful on this topic.
I said, well, that's a great idea. Yes. Let's, you know, but however many times, let's just do that. Yeah. Yeah.
Or a second time, or a third, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes me think, when we're talking about resets, about the idea of keeping short accounts, because certainly reading the Bible every day keeps us on short accounts with God, but we also need to keep short accounts with the people around us, whether they're our roommates or our spouse or our children. And I wondered if you had some encouragement about ways to check to sort of check that and how to reset that if you suspect that you're not doing a good job of keeping short accounts.
Well, keeping short accounts just means confessing your sins right now. You sin, you confess it. You don't put it off. You don't make excuses. You don't justify it. You confess it. And if you were a little snippy to the bank teller, you pause right there and say, please forgive me, that was snippy. Or if you realize after you drive away, you get back in line and you go, I say, I just wanted to say, I am sorry, I was snippy at you, and that's the last thing you needed today. Please forgive me. So if it's easy to confess to your children and your husband because you know them well and they know you, and of course they'll forgive you.
And they do have to live with you.
They have to live
the next day.
but if you sin in a group, you seek forgiveness in a group. You do it right away, because when you don't and when you make excuses, well, now you have not good fellowship with these people, and you don't have good fellowship with the Lord. So,
and time doesn't help that on the side of the people that may have been hurt, too, because it gives them time to feel a little sore about
it. That's right. It feels absolutely.
Yeah.
And it just gets worse, and it gets harder to put it right, and you make more excuses. But then when we harden our heart, we are far more likely to sin again.
It becomes easier, like a little path that you've worn through the grass.
And we allow ourselves to just put it off. And then we sin more and more. And so we're getting a bigger backlog and more out of fellowship with God. So it's just keeping short accounts is a whole lot easier than having to do once every few months, pick up the big mess.
Yes.
It's like
try to sort it out. Yes.
Right now.
And I've noticed too that it, though it may be easy to keep short accounts with those who are closest to you, it probably also blesses them the most.
Of course.
Children knowing that mommy and daddy will sin sometimes, and there is a higher authority that says that's not okay.
That's right.
And that they know how to get it right. Because I always think about it as a mom of young kids. You know, they're watching that and
my husband
learning.
Remembers as a kid not responding quickly to do what he was told to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so his dad spanked him all the way up the stairs to his room. And then his dad came back and sat on the bed and apologized because he just had been angry.
Mm-hmm.
And he confessed it to Doug. And Doug just remembers that as a very humbling experience.
Watershed.
Like, my dad is spiritual apologizing
learning
to me.
Yeah.
I'm the one that was not being obedient. But he's apologized. You know, so it really had a tremendous impact on him. Just knowing that his father also confessed his sins.
Yeah.
The other thing is, we can have sins that only we know about. And those we need to repent of and confess to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He knows. So those thoughts and attitudes and things that creep in have to be repented of as well. And we want to keep short accounts right there.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we don't, then that comes out later.
Mm-hmm. I think you and Doug have used the example of it coming to nest, a bird coming to nest in your hair. Like, you don't have to let it make a nest there.
Right. And it's a Spurgeon quote, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
But he says, and of course, I think Watson used, I think it was a common thing.
It was actually
I've
a picture.
Because I've read it other places.
That makes sense.
It's, you can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from nesting in your hair.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be bad thoughts, bad attitudes. They fly by.
Mm.
You shoo them off. You don't invite them in.
To stay. And that's helpful when it's something where perhaps you've, you know, sinned against someone, but confessing it to them because they had no idea this thought happened would actually probably just hurt them.
Oh, yeah, don't go there.
You know,
do not.
Like, let me use this as a way to be vindictive. I'll tell you the bad thought I had about you.
I had you over today because I wanted to tell you I've been bitter.
For 3 months.
That actually happened to me.
Oh, no. Not really a way to repair a relationship,
yeah,
I feel.
It was very odd, but at any rate, there. Yeah, I suggest if it has leaked out, yes.
Yes, of course.
But
yes.
Otherwise, just give it to God. And
yeah. And let him handle the
rest. Let him handle it.
Yes. You mentioned Watson, which just made my mind jump to Jeremiah Burroughs, because you have talked a lot about, maybe taught some Bible studies and then written about contentment.
Right.
Jeremiah Burroughs was a Puritan who wrote The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment.
Right. And it was actually, of course, a series of sermons.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And so these books, and Watson's as well. So Burroughs is The Rare Jewel of Christian Contentment.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Watson's is, let's see if I can remember. Oh, it will come to me. The Divine Art of Christian Contentment.
Mm-hmm.
I love Puritan titles.
Mm-hmm. They're lengthy.
Right. And then Watson also wrote All Things Work for Good.
Mm.
And I'm rereading that one right now. And it's the same thing. It's a series of sermons.
Okay.
And the Puritans were so good at the sermon structure.
Mm-hmm.
Of laying the text out, of then making applications very clearly.
Mm-hmm.
So the book could be outlined. It is an outline form, you know, point one, point
That's
two, and subpoints.
Really
and
helpful because I've gotten bogged down multiple times in The Rare Jewel, really wanting to read it and learn from it.
Yeah.
And I'm excited to take another crack at it because of that.
He does.
Process.
Yeah, Burroughs does do it that way as well. But that's mainly why I wrote Learning Contentment because I just wanted to get it in a more modern, you know.
It's much more approachable for us,
Christian women today without dumbing it down and yet just
Same
a little
principles.
Easier. The first time I read it, Burroughs, I looked up so many words that were archaic.
I was going to ask you what prompted you to get started studying
that
topic.
How did I do that? Let's see. I think I read a biography of Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I really enjoy biographies.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fiction reader.
Mm-hmm.
I taught literature. I read a lot of fiction and enjoyed it.
It's not lack of love.
It. Yes. Yeah. But I'm more, if I have my choice, I just enjoy history. I enjoy nonfiction. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was reading some biographies and then one thing just led to another. And I don't really know.
Yeah.
But the first one was, I think, was the Burroughs book on contentment. Mm-hmm. And then Watson, I read a lot of his books. And I led book studies in our church for a while with the ladies.
Yes.
And we went through the Rare Jewels, I don't know, a few times. A
couple of times, I think, yeah.
At least twice. Mm-hmm. And I think I have it written in my broken edition that tells what years I took the women through
that.
Some
dates, yeah.
And then we also went through Watson's.
Okay. I didn't realize that Watson wrote on contentment. I had missed that somehow.
The Divine Art.
I'm excited.
And then another, Matthew Henry, The Quest for Meekness and Quietness of Spirit. Oh my goodness.
Hits along the same lines.
Yes, and it's sermons also. But his is about the gentle, quiet spirit, and it's about anger. Mm-hmm. It's excellent. Mm-hmm. But then Watson has many other books that we also went through together. It was just a phase, you know, and it just helped set a really good tone. I think especially All Things for Good, like the way to view the world and contentment. But I mean, well, both those
just gives
topics,
you a framework for tackling circumstances.
It's a worldview Christianity and how you translate, how you understand what's going on and hard things.
Put these in show notes later. So, because there's just a lot of resources that we're batting around.
Yes.
And so we'll put those titles in there just for anyone who's listening and going, wait, where's my pen?
Oh, yeah.
We'll put those on there so that you can look them up. And
don't be intimidated by the Puritans. It is tough going, but just read a little bit at a time.
Knowing that one chapter or section is a sermon is helping me because I'm thinking, okay, I could maybe tackle one sermon and chew on that.
But they preach for a long time, Lydia. So, I mean, maybe don't feel like you have to read the whole chapter.
Did you know we had a few, we generally attend the second service at our church. And during the summer, it was far too hot a couple weeks for a pregnant lady to sit through. I found myself having to leave and just sit in the air conditioning in the car. And so, and you know, my family very kindly switched to the early service, which is a little bit of a stretch for us, so that I could make it. But I just sat there thinking of the Puritan women who sat on those backless benches for 4 or 5 hours.
Yes.
I'm sure they made concessions for women with children and pregnant women, but they were expected a certain level of physical discipline.
Well, I remember when we were in Williamsburg, going into the little church there, and they had boxes. You know, each family had
they had a section. Okay,
a section with a gate. You walk in, and they would bring their own little.
I'm sure they had
pot of coals, their own little fire.
Yes.
And set it in there. And so it was fenced around to keep the heat in.
That makes sense.
Can you imagine?
So probably
the children
little ones
stayed
would be
home with the servants.
Okay.
You see, because
they weren't ready.
Yeah. In the dead of winter.
Too harsh.
I think it was too.
I think I have memories of Plymouth because they did have, I think they had the real long benches and you just sit there.
I'm sure.
So depending on the stage of colonization.
And I think the boxes were maybe for the people who could afford them.
Yes, that too.
I don't know.
That too.
But we do have it. Yes.
And there used to be the people that would go around and poke you if you, asleep or something.
Now we do have some warm clothes we can put on and so forth. But, you know, it's different eras had different hardships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had those moments this summer thinking, okay, just remember.
Right.
If it seems too hot in church today, because we'd been hit by a heat wave where it was going up above 100 for 3 or 4 weeks, I think.
I felt it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're just not acclimatized to that here, you all.
We're babies. We are big babies.
My sister-in-law, Valerie, who's usually hosting with me, would say, now, we're in North Carolina and it's humid down here, everyone. Please note that our summers are like this frequently and we appreciate and our hats are off to them. Another of these reset topics that came to mind, which we touched on just a little bit, was prayer. And I know that there are so many books out there that you can read and that sort of thing. And I find myself praying quickly throughout the day. If something's mm-hmm. bothering me or I'm worried about something or I need to make a request, it'll be a quick little something. Mm-hmm. Daniel and I, my husband and I, were talking the other day about how our children don't see that. And so we tell them that it's there and that that's happening. Sometimes we do it out loud, but they don't necessarily know. So we pray at the table. We pray quickly as we're going about our day, but we started thinking about what could we do to make it a regular pattern around the children so that mm-hmm. they're aware of it and practicing it themselves right. as well. So I didn't know if you had any thoughts about how to reset a habit of prayer.
When your kids are little, you know, I remember we prayed, of course, at meals mm-hmm. and so forth. We prayed at bedtime. Mm-hmm. In fact, bedtime, I would go in and pray with them. Doug would go in and pray with them. He'd bring in his guitar and we would sing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, it was like a festivity.
Yeah.
It could go on and on.
Good way to end the day.
Depending. But at any rate, and then if we administered discipline, we always prayed with them afterwards. Mm-hmm. If they were sick, we prayed with them. If there was a trouble, we would just stop and pray
something.
With them. Mm-hmm. We would pray in the car. We were going, you know, we really prayed mm-hmm. a lot.
I know when we have someone getting hung up on a bad habit or a sin that they can't let go. And
sure.
it's frustration for mommy. It's frustration for them because they're having trouble letting it go.
Right.
And I've grabbed them in the moment and said, okay, here
that's
we go.
Right.
We're going to ask God
of
to
course.
Give you the strength to fight this.
Right. Absolutely.
That's what I do for myself.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
So it does actually just become a rhythm
right.
throughout the day
yeah,
if you have it built
rhythm.
Into all those
we didn't,
things.
We did not, as a family, do what people would call family worship.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't, but at the dinner table when the kids were younger, Doug would read them Bible stories, mm-hmm. either from a Bible story book or mm-hmm. later from the Word. You know, so that we were having that, and then we could have discussion time and whatever. But now it's called A Handbook to Prayer,
mm-hmm.
and it's by a man named Kenneth Boa, like a boa constrictor, and B-O-A.
Yes.
But it's just a small little, mine is just a little leather edition, but mm-hmm. it comes in paperback, which is quite a bit fatter. But what it is, it's all scripture. But there are 30 days of prayers in there. And
so things from the epistles?
Well,
or
so you just, it's from everywhere. So
okay.
it starts out with adoration and praise. So it will just have a scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And you just read the scripture and you add your own praise. You see, it's just a guide, but it's all scripture. It's not man-written prayers.
Right.
And then it goes to confession, and it will have a scripture about confession.
So adoration from the Psalms, you might have something like that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. I should have brought it. I could have. And so anyway,
we'll put that one in the show notes, too.
It just works through all these different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And then it rotates through, like one day you might be praying for your church,
mm-hmm.
The next day for your family,
mm-hmm.
the next day for missions. You know, it just works in, but it always has scripture,
you go,
so you're
yeah.
praying scripture. And I love it. It's just a guide. So
it becomes
it's not like
meditation on God's
yes,
word as well
each,
as prayer.
Yes. So mm-hmm. this will then, I add my praise to the scripture. I mm-hmm. add my confession, I add my adoration and so forth. And so it's been a real blessing to me.
That
I've used it for
wonderful.
Years.
I had not heard of it.
And I get it. You can go to his, if you Google it, he has a website where
okay.
you can order it.
We can put a link up and that'll be a helpful
yeah.
way for people
and
to find it.
I order the paperback copies. I give away a lot of them.
That's wonderful.
But I feel that it just helps anchor you every day.
Mm-hmm.
30 days worth, when you get finished, you just start over. It's not like you remember, mm-hmm. I remember this.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all scripture, so you remember it. But it's amazing how, I needed to, that was what I needed today, that
mm-hmm.
one. I don't remember reading this or you know, so.
And I think it's useful. Paul who said, for me to repeat these things is not tedious, but for you it is safe or effective or whatever it is.
So it's praying scripture back to God. That's the whole purpose of it. And then there is the back is 1 week of more intensive prayers where it just has a lot more scripture if you want to spend more time.
That's a great recommendation. It's a good tool. Yes.
It's not like I can't pray without it.
Yeah, right.
But it's just a tool that really helps.
I was going to ask you if just because the children are in the forefront of my mind as a mom with young kids, where I'm thinking, how can I help them develop this skill, which means that I'm also asking, how can I develop this skill? But that's a great recommendation because I'm hoping that college gals are listening too, and they may not have, you know, the kids running around keeping it in the forefront of their mind. But what do you do when your schedule is really full and you're just running? Yes. And yet, you know, you want to keep this discipline.
My little
exercise
time. And, you know, every time of life you get a system down and something changes. And God clearly wants us to be flexible people. But my time where I use that little prayer book is first thing in the morning before I get out of bed. So that works for me right now. If I get up, if I'm awake early enough, you know, which is typically 6 to 6:15, I have time then I can
hop. Before the day starts. Yes.
But, you know, when I was teaching, it was different.
So, because you have to be there early or you have to be prepping before class.
Or you have a baby crying. Maybe while you're nursing, you can.
Of the night nursing sessions, once you have older children, become really prime time.
I bet they
because
do.
It's just me and the baby. And once baby settles down, then it's quiet.
Yeah. So at any rate, just when you have a sweet spot and it's all worked out, then something changes. But it's just God is perfect, but he's not a perfectionist. And that's a really important distinction.
And we shouldn't then try to be perfectionists to run around in circles trying to please him.
I didn't use my little prayer book today, so I'm not a faithful Christian. It's like, no. You pray without ceasing. Just have a prayerful heart all day.
That's something that the Bible Reading Challenge helped me with in all of life, actually.
Yes.
Because it was the realization that, you know, we don't get upset if we made a mediocre meal for dinner one night. It's not like, well, that was a fail, so I'm not going to make dinner tomorrow.
Exactly.
You know, because what other areas? Oh, I didn't do my laundry today, so now I can't for the rest of the week.
Well, and God is so kind to us. You know, just reading in Exodus today, Moses saying, but I can't, Lord, I can't speak to these people. I can't do it. You know, God is so patient and kind of like, okay, fine, we'll use Aaron. We'll get Aaron in.
Right. We're going to make it work.
Yeah. And Aaron didn't turn out to be the best helper, did he?
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just that God is perfect himself, but he's not a perfectionist.
And he can draw straight with crooked lines.
Yes. And he doesn't have these very stiff requirements for his children, you know, like it's a loving father. It's a relationship.
As a parent, you can imagine that when they're just, you know, they're little and they're struggling and you obviously don't want to laugh off sin, but at the same time you look at them and I can see it's so hard for that 2-year-old right now to just do this simple
thing. Life is tough right now.
And I'm going to teach you and I'm going to discipline you, but also, you know, I love you.
Right.
When you're stuck.
Yes.
So, well, I think we have time maybe to hit on one more red letter topic, which I think is particularly important for women, and that would be a reset on the tongue, what comes out of our mouths, because we like to talk. And maybe it's it ties in so well with what we've talked about before. But if we're looking to reset how we speak to others, how we speak maybe about our husband or about our job or about our teachers or to our children, what are some good, just basic pointers for what we're looking for?
Okay. I would say this. What are you listening to all day?
Mm.
Because if you are getting out of bed and going, oh, man, I'm grumbling inside, grumbling about how you feel and grumbling about your, now I have to go do this thing or now this is so hard and, oh, they didn't pick this up. And, you know, if you have that conversation going in your mind, it is going to come out and it's not pleasant for anyone to hear. So that's where we have to start. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your heart is speaking to you all day long.
You're making a habit in your head before it comes out of your mouth.
Exactly. So what are you listening to? Are you criticizing your husband? Are you saying, yeah, he doesn't do this?
The internal eye roll or whatever.
He doesn't care about me. And he's, you know, what are you, grumbling about your kids and your neighbors and your life and your job? So
we're reading social media posts that have that attitude. And then you just sort of amen along with it in the background. It's like, I didn't really say that, but that person did. And I sort of nodded in agreement.
Bad company.
Bad
company. So what company are you keeping? Check your heart. That's what you would need to do. And somewhere, I don't have the citation, but it's set a watch at the door of my lips. Set a watch, Lord. Put a guard at the door of my lips. And I've prayed that before when I'm going into a group situation or, you know.
I think it's Psalm 145.
I feel like it's in the Psalm somewhere.
We have Bible song that does Psalm 145, verse 6, maybe.
Good
I can't
job,
normally
Lydia.
Do that, but
Way
we've been
go.
Singing that one.
Stump the band. So anyway, pray that way. You're going into a conversation with someone. Ask the Lord to put that watch, a sentry there. But guard your heart.
Let it be a profitable conversation that I'm having.
Just
you know,
decide,
a
you know, Lord, this grumbling is going to stop in my heart instead of, it's like, let me stop it there. Say thank you instead. Thank you for this and thank you that I have this job and thank you that I live here and thank you.
Return to gratitude.
Oh my goodness, it transforms our hearts. It really does. So. That's my hot tip.
No, that's.
I'm sure you've thought of it many times before. But,
but that's the thing. I think these are.
We got to do.
I suspect that all of these things we've talked about today are things where we knew.
Basics,
we knew those things.
Reminders.
But we just forget them. We're human. We forget all the time. And sometimes you'll catch yourself having forgotten for 2 or 3 weeks in a row and something jolts you back and you go, oh.
Where
well, how
have I
could
been?
I have let that run down the hill? Yes.
Of course.
And so so that was my hope today.
We're being sanctified one day at a time. So progress.
And I love your reminder from the beginning that we reset daily. Back to school is a good time to do a big one, or sometimes people do the beginning of the year, but don't save it for those moments. Those can be good pointers, but it really is a daily discipline.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming, Nancy.
Fun
really
to
appreciate
chat with
it.
You.
Yes, this was a delight. And for those listening today, thanks for joining us.